We saw that and I thought, wow, if we just listen to God. That's what Cynthia did today. Two souls were saved. Like Scott said, Kevin's dad passing was the emotional thing that moved Cynthia even more so, even though God was already dealing with her today, to invite to church and had a burden for her husband. And he got saved. And Kennedy got saved. All because somebody was faithful to God. When God speaks, move. So many times we fail to move. So many times we blink and the opportunity is gone. I mean, I'd hate for that opportunity to be one of my children or one of your children or your husband or your wife. And God tell me to sing. God tell me to say something. And I blink. And they die and spend eternity in hell because of one move that we didn't take. But if you turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 2, Kevin called me or texted me this morning about preaching for him tonight. And right as we saw that his dad had passed when he had posted it, Kelly looked at me and she goes, "He's going to have you preach tonight." I said, "We'll see." Because I was teaching Sunday school this morning, so I thought, probably not. Sure enough, text came in 5 minutes later. He asked me to preach. And I do thank God for the opportunity. I don't take this lightly. This is not something to get up here and just stammer around and not really give what God says. But I want to try to give to you what God put on my heart. And I titled this, "God Makes No Mistakes." He makes no mistakes. But the Bible says in verse 1 of chapter 2, "And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noise that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them, and they come unto him, bringing one sick with palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." This is Mark. Oh, did I say Matthew? I'm so sorry. Yeah, see, I just want to see if y'all knew where I was at. And see, y'all had no clue. Man, I tricked every one of y'all. My wife wrote Matthew on here. No, just kidding. But Mark, sorry. Everybody's like, "Where's he at?" But verse 6. "But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts. Why does this man thus speak, blaspheme? Who can forgive sin but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether is it easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and take up thy bed and walk? But they..." Verse 10. "But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he said to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up his bed and went forth before them all, and so much that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion." I thought about this scripture, and when I was reading this, trying to study this and study for Sunday school this morning, I thought about how when we talk to people, when we're doing stuff, when somebody's needing God, like your husband was needing God, there was somebody that broke up the roof. That's what we did today. The church, when we went there, what we were doing, we were breaking and plowing the ground for him to receive Christ in his life. A lot of times people don't receive Christ because we're so lack in our own lives that we don't do what God has asked us to do. We also see in the book of John 11, the whole chapter talking about Lazarus with Mary and Martha. When Lazarus died, we see that Lazarus, he passed away. He's dead 4 days. And he'd been buried. And everybody said it was too late. All hope's gone. But when Jesus showed up, all hope was found again. A lot of times we think hope's gone. Sometimes we look at our spouses or our friends and we think it's all over with. There's nothing we can do, nothing we can say. But hope's always there. God makes no mistakes. No matter how big your giant is in your life, a lot of times we see things in our lives that are so big that we're afraid that, you know, we can't take this. We can't take it. It's this giant of alcoholism in my life is too much. I can't bear it. But you can overcome it with God. God's bigger than your giant. Not only is God bigger than your giant, but God is higher than your mountain. There's so many times, I know these are kind of like cliches if you'd say, but so many times you think your mountain of debt is so high and there's no way you're going to climb it and there's no way you're going to get out, or your sickness is so high and there's no way to overcome this. But with God, everything's possible. God can make a way. Not only in this, but I lost my train of thought. My God's greater than any of your problems. We all got problems. We all got problems. We just don't admit our problems. We come to church, like I told them in Sunday school one day, I said, we're Facebook Christians at church especially. We show our best me here today. I'm not going to show you. If my wife and I are fighting, you're not going to see that. No. If our finances are bad, you're not going to see that. If my kids are out in sin, you're not going to see that. I'm going to keep it quiet. And you're going to think everything's perfect and everything's fine. But if we all would just come out of our shells and just say, you know what? We're broken. We're messed up. That's why we're here. We're here because we need God. But if you look in life, God has never failed. God has never made a mistake. God's always come through. I remember one time my mother-in-law got sick and got rushed to the emergency room. And we thought it was something major. She was in severe pain in her side. We thought maybe it's appendicitis or something bad happened. And so she got rushed in, and we all took off from work. We all came in the hospital to be with her, and we were scared. And they had her back there for a while and found out there was just something so small, so simple. Just medication takes care of it. And we thought, man, this is a waste of time. Missed a whole day of work, come to the hospital. But being me, I decided I wanted to go to the lunchroom and get a snack, something while we're waiting on them to get her out and everything. And as I got in there, I saw this lady crying. I didn't know who she was. Her name was Linda Carter. I walked up to Linda after I met her. She told me her name. Walked up to Linda, put my arm around her and said, it's going to be okay. And she goes, do you really believe so? I said, it will. Said, God has it in his hands. And she goes, do you know me? I was like, no. And she goes, well, my son's in the hospital. I said, well, tell me about it. She started telling me about her son. Her son was in a major car accident. He tried to kill himself and his girlfriend because she broke up with him while they're on the way home. So he decided he was going to hit a tree head on and end their lives. It severely hurt him because he had no seatbelt. It hurt her, but not as bad. He was in a coma for a while, and she said he's a very violent man. He does not like church, doesn't like nothing to do with God. And I said, well, could I pray for him? And she goes, sure. And he's in ICU. Only family can come back there. So I don't know what she told the doctors, but somehow I got to go back in ICU. I got to look down on this man's body and badly beat up. I mean, he looked terrible. He had a tracheotomy. He couldn't even speak. But I looked in his eyes when he just had came out of his coma, and he was laying there. He said he probably won't even know you're here. He probably won't even respond to you, and if he does, he'll probably get very violent. So just pray for him. And I leaned over Adam's body, and I said, Adam, I said, Jesus loves you, man. I said, Jesus didn't let you die in that car because he wants you to know him. And I began witness to this guy, Adam, that I didn't even know. And tears well up in his eyes. He reached over and grabbed my hand and held my hand. He didn't jerk my hand violently. It was all calm and collective, as if he was wanting to receive something. He tried to talk, and I kept telling Adam, don't speak, because it would mess the trachea up. And so he kept trying to mutter words, and I said, you know what, you don't have to pray out loud to receive Christ. I said, you could pray in your heart right now and ask Jesus in your heart, and he will save your soul. And I prayed with Adam, and he wept tears. And his mom told me, said, Kevin, my son has never cried in front of me before. She goes, I've talked to him for days in here when he came out of the coma, and he's never wept. He just sits there, and people talk to him. And I told Kelly, I said, you know what? I don't know, but one day, maybe I'll get to heaven, walk through the pearly gates, and Adam be standing there and saying, do you remember me? I'm that guy you witnessed to. And you see all these people behind me? These are people I witnessed to over the years that got saved. Because we don't know what God's doing. We don't know what God's doing. God had a plan and a purpose. God makes no mistakes. Sometimes we fail because we think things are going bad and things aren't going right in our lives. But God has never failed us. No matter what you're going through, God's not failed you. God's got you in his hands, and he is going to bring you through it. I debated today about singing because in the shower I sound like Frank Sinatra. I do. But in the car, I sound like Billy Ray Cyrus with a cold. And so I don't know which one's really me. So I'm like, I don't know. And so, you know, but I thought about it. And, you know, I know this is a short message, but God had, you know, today had been a strange day, unusual day. I mean, how God shows how he makes no mistakes, that he can come through any storm, any trial you go through, and he can carry you through it all because he's God. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, your Savior, he wants to save you. I mean, you might say, I'm going through some hard times. I'm struggling, and I'm going through an addiction or whatever it might be. God has it in his hands. And he can use that to save your life and save your soul if you'll let him. I'm going to try to sing this, but I don't have the words with me. So if I mess up, it's God's fault for not having the words for me. Have you ever seen a mother cry when she's lost her little boy? Or a mom and dad stand broken as their son's life had been destroyed? Have you seen old age take those away who are special to their hearts? Listen then to what I say. God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. He knows the path you take. He's brought you this far in life's way. He'll never let you down. God makes no mistakes. Have you cried a river full of tears with an aching, broken heart? Have you prayed and prayed and no answers came in an hour oh so dark? Now weeping may endure the night, but joy will come at dawn. Then, my friend, you too can say that God makes no mistakes. God makes no mistakes. He knows the path we take. He's brought you this far in life's way. He'll never let you down. God makes no mistakes. If you would just take your mind and think of that song about how God never has failed, never makes a mistake, he could change your life today. And I hope this message will be a help to you. I know it's a short message, but I hope you will understand that God's got a plan. He's got a purpose. If we all would do like the lady did, obey the Holy Spirit when he speaks. My goodness, if you just obey when he speaks, and you'll see God move. A lot of times we don't see him move because he wants us to move first. A lot of times we're saying, God, revive our church. Then he's like, okay, then revive. He wants you to do it first. Lord, Lord, bless my heart, bless my family. Well, bless someone else. And doing something for God, when you give your testimony to somebody and you bless somebody's heart, in return, it blesses you. It all turns back to you. A lot of times we miss it because we don't share it. We miss God because we're just almost like lazy Christians. We are. We're nothing like the Christians of the old days. And that's sad. And I'm hoping and praying that the day was a new beginning for our church, that God's starting something new to bring us and get us on fire for Him, to show us that God makes no mistakes. And what He's doing, He didn't build that building out there on an accident. God's got a purpose for that. And it's not just for us to have a big building to make a skate rink out of. It's not. It'd be a good idea, wouldn't it, Scott? But no, that's not what it's for. It's for us to have worship service and to bring souls and bring people in. And you'll be amazed. Like we said, we've seen so many people leave our church because we get so crowded on Sunday mornings and there's no room to sit. And families get up and they leave because it's just too crowded, or it's too hot because there's so many people. But we get in that new building, there's going to be plenty of room for everybody to feel more comfortable and just see the Holy Spirit move in. That's what we want. So let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank you for the day you've given us, God. We thank you for your blessings, Lord. God, I pray that this will help to the people here, Lord. And I pray you just work in our hearts and lives. I pray, God, especially for Kevin's family, God, that you be with them. And God, we thank you, Lord, for what you did today with Alan and Kennedy, Lord. And God, we know that you can do mighty things, Lord. And God, we just can't wait to see what all you're going to do with our church. God, use us, Lord. We love you and thank you for all your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.